As we do each and every Monday, our friend Duke Ellingson on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How are you doing this morning, Duke?
Very well, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Hey, before we talk NFL, wanted to get your reaction to the news that Bob Dice is now the full-time head coach of the Ottawa Redblacks. It was down to three, including the defensive coordinators in both Hamilton and Toronto, and then the known quantity, or the more known quantity here in Ottawa, in Bob Dice. Maybe A, your reaction, and B, are you surprised at the end of the day that that's the direction the Redblacks went?
You know what? No, not really, and I'm very happy for Bob Dice. One thing I think we can all agree on in sports organizations is if you can have continuity, even when changes have to be made, like a firing, as we saw last year, if you can find ways to promote from within and sort of bring in guys or keep guys that know the culture, the expectations, know the players. And obviously if the person's a competent and, a good choice for the organization in the new role, I think you try to do that. And I think that's what Sean Burke did. I think his trust in Bob Dice from the time that he's known him here and obviously the conversations that they've had and even some feedback from players, I'm sure, all entered into it. So I think it's an exciting development for the organization. And I really like the fact that right away they kind of, the delineation of labor where he was not going to be a coordinator. I know he's going to have hands, obviously, in all parts of the game, but I think it was a really important piece that they recognize and understand and agree that he was going to be the head coach and give up all, coordination responsibilities. And I think that was, to me, the downfall of Paul Appelbaum.
Everybody talks, Duke, about how Bob Dice connects on a personal level with not just players but staff, with everybody that he comes across. Just in your time in playing in the league, I mean, how important it seems to me that X's and O's would always seem to kind of trump all. Like, right? Are you of such a mind that you can outsmart your opponents? But we kind of forget about the human connection part of that. How important is that?
It's huge. It absolutely is huge. And it's interesting, on a lot of fronts. The head coach sometimes can be a little bit distanced from the players if you think about the day-to-day there in a football week where the coordinators and the position coaches spend all of the time with the players in meetings and really interacting with them. And the head coach is kind of overseeing from a higher level. And sometimes it's hard, to have that connection. So oftentimes the guys that have spent time as a coordinator really build that bridge with the players, and it matters. And is that now the trick is, can you continue to have that kind of impact and that kind of sort of mentorship as a head coach? It's not that easy. But absolutely, I think the best coaches, in my mind, the best coaches are leaders of men. The X's and O's are part of the equation for sure, but that's why you have coordinators. That's why you hire good people underneath you and around you. And your job is to get everybody, pointing in the right direction. And then certainly on game day, the X and O part is really about game management. And I think that's, again, where I think Bob Dice is going to have some unique challenges because it'll be his first time doing it. But I'm excited for him and excited for the organization.
In a lot of ways, Duke, is a football team set up the same as the military? You got your general, then you got your people, mm-hmm. lieutenants under, and filters down to the soldiers.
100%. And all of the direction, the philosophy, all of that comes from the top, and you're right, but the general doesn't get to touch, that level as often as the lieutenants do, and so again, that's why you build, and I think this is what we now have. We have a general manager who's been hired. He's now had a chance to, clean the slate, hire his own coach, and the head coach now is going to hire his coordinators, and that's the way it should be. That's the way it works best, and I think some of the names that we've heard already, Kahari Jones, perhaps Baron Miles, I think you've got, the building blocks for a pretty impressive coaching staff.
We do know that Kahari Jones has been hired as offensive coordinator, obviously had some head coaching responsibility in Montreal, but has been an offensive coordinator both in Montreal and BC for quite a while. Just in watching him as he was in those two CFL cities, do you have a kind of a feel for Kahari Jones as an offensive coordinator?
When he was a player, for those that may remember in the time that he spent in the CFL in Winnipeg, won a MVP during his time there, took the Bombers to a Grey Cup, which they didn't win. But he was, a real, I thought, an aggressive quarterback in terms of liking to get the ball down the field. He had some good weapons in the day with Milt Stegall and others. But I think he's an aggressive kind of offensive coordinator. He understands what it takes to be successful, certainly at the quarterback position. And I think we're going to see an aggressive approach to offense, which will be a welcome change of pace here.
All right, we're talking football with Duke Ellington. All right, let's turn our attention to the NFL. And I think the biggest news from the day yesterday, Duke, is the 49ers, who had Super Bowl or have Super Bowl aspirations, are now looking for their third quarterback this year. Trey Lance started. He didn't even get out of training camp. Jimmy G's come in, and now he is done for the year. I guess the initial question is, can the San Francisco 49ers, specifically that defense and the playmakers, overcome having a seventh-round rookie as their quarterback and do some damage in the playoffs and going forward?
Well, I think if you're a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys or any of the other NFC contenders, you're probably a little happier this morning, because that San Francisco team with a veteran quarterback was going to be a real tough out this year. Can they overcome that? I think it's asking an awful lot. You know, certainly the blueprint of having a top-tier defense, which San Francisco does, and having not just playmakers, but an ability to run the ball in a myriad of ways, as San Francisco does. I think, obviously, the acquisition of Christian McCaffrey has been huge for them. But still, you're asking, as you said, a seventh-round kid who has really not played yet in this league to now lead his team, you know, likely into some pretty hostile environments in the playoffs. So I think they're going to be able to insulate him maybe more than some teams would be able to. But I just think it's asking an awful lot.
Do you think they go out and sign somebody that's retired, Duke?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to find somebody. I've heard the name Josh Johnson. And, I mean, right now, you know, the trade deadline's passed. There's only guys that are either, you know, not playing or free agents for a reason. So the likelihood of you bringing anybody that can have any kind of impact at this point to learn the offense and everything else is very, very slim. They're going to have to find somebody just to bring in terms of available bodies, but right now I think the kids, he's been in the system obviously since the offseason through training camp, every meeting, every day, so he gives them, I think, the best chance to run the offense as it's laid out today.
Well, since Patrick Mahomes entered the scene in Kansas City along with Andy Reid, they have been the model franchise in the league, and they have won a lot of games, except against the Cincinnati Bengals, especially in the last 12 months. What is it about the Bengals, and specifically, I think, about the way they defend, that allows them to, relatively speaking, shut down Patrick Mahomes?
You know, it's a very good question. I mean, everybody is trying the same things against Kansas City with varying degrees of success. And I was thinking about that this morning, because if you go back to that first regular season game last year, I think it was a really wild game. In fact, it might have even gone to overtime, but it was a high-scoring game, and Cincinnati just made more plays at the end of the game. The playoff game, I think we all remember that Kansas City kind of had that game under control, and then near the end with a couple of interceptions and some suspect play calling, they allowed the Bengals back in, and of course the Bengals won it in overtime. So I'm not sure that necessarily Cincinnati has them completely figured out. But matchup-wise, offensively, I think where Cincinnati has a huge advantage is the ability to have three, you know, really gifted wide receivers. Not a lot of teams can roll out those three guys. And Kansas City's, you know, kind of Achilles heel has always been in the secondary, and I think we saw that a little bit yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, they held Mahomes to kind of, you know, under 300 yards, and they just didn't let the game get away. So they've obviously got a feel for how to defend them, but they've also had some breaks, some of them self-made, some of them, Kansas City side, it's kind of self-inflicted.
Yeah, it felt like in the second half, Mahomes was thrown off his back foot a lot, so I guess that's pressure. But a guy like Joe Burrow, is it the talent that it impresses you? Is it the mental and physical toughness, or just all of the above? Because it has just been incredible what he's done since he came in, and not phased at all facing Patrick Mahomes.
No, and it's a good point. It's not just about, because he's not the most physically gifted guy that's come out of the, you know, out of college in the last 4 or 5 years. He's not the biggest. He doesn't have the strongest arm. But boy, he reminds me a lot of a Joe Montana. And that's your point about sort of the mental side, the emotional side. He just seems to rise in the big moments. He doesn't get flustered. It seems in the biggest moments he plays his best. And he just doesn't ever seem to get flustered, whether it's, you know, a lot of pressure coming his way or getting down in a game or even throwing a couple interceptions early. He just seems to have that ability to never blink, and I think that's what makes him pretty special.
Yeah, and I think the other part of it is, and just watching that game yesterday, Duke, is, yeah, and as a coach, you hold your breath every single time, but if he has to pull it, if he has to tuck it and run, you know, he's more than willing to do it, and he's more than willing to take his fair share of shots to try to get a first down. And again, I that's not a long-term recipe for success, but I got to think as a teammate, and especially an offensive teammate watching your quarterback do that, I got to think that's pretty inspirational.
Yeah, there's two things I think that teammates love about their quarterback. One is exactly what you just said, willing to put your body on the line as a runner, especially, you know, I mean, you can't do it, as you said, you can't do it every time, you can't do it for 16 weeks in the NFL and expect to survive, but when you really need it and it's a big-time play, you're willing to do that. The other thing is standing in the pocket and taking hits to make throws. Those are the two things that really gain quarterbacks respect, and, you know, Burrow sometimes has been criticized, I think, for standing in the pocket too long, taking a lot of hits, not wanting to throw the ball away or make a bad decision. And, you know, while that's great, you know, his teammates love it, he's got to be careful about that because we saw what happened to him a couple of years ago with the knee injury.
Are you feeling like JR's Eagles are the real deal?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I saw a stat this morning that I thought was pretty cool that the Eagles last week, as you guys remember, rushed for over 350 yards, and yesterday they passed for over 350 yards. And like, it's the first time, I believe, in almost NFL history that a team has done that in back-to-back weeks in any order. So to be able to run it like that when you have an opportunity or when the matchups favor you, and then yesterday knowing that they weren't going to be able to do that against Tennessee and let Jalen Hurts win it in the air, to throw for 350 yards is pretty impressive. So, yeah, they're humming on all cylinders. If they can stay healthy right now, it's really, you know, tough to see anybody that can go into Philadelphia anyways and beat that team.
Yeah, that'll be the, I always think home field is huge in football, right, in playoff football. Mm-hmm. But, well, yeah, you know, Cincinnati went into KC and won the AFC Championship game last year, so we'll wait and see on that. And A.J. Brown has just been everything they hope for and more. That second touchdown catch,
yeah,
where he's essentially, I mean, he is well covered on that, and he kind of lets the ball kind of falls onto the defensive back shoulder pad, and he just says, I got strong hands here, I'll take that, thank you very much. Like, you could not have covered him any better, and he made a touchdown catch on that. Like, there's very few guys that can make that play.
Oh, he's been unbelievable. You're right, and I mean, I'm sure he had a whole lot of fun doing it yesterday against his old team. But you know, the league now has sort of five or six of those receivers who literally you can just throw it to them, and to your point, they're covered. It's one-on-one coverage, but they're covered. There isn't, you know, he hasn't gotten any separation, but these guys with their hands, with their jumping ability, with their sheer strength and size seem to come down with the ball more often than not. Yeah, he's just been, obviously to me, he has been the key signing in the offseason of any of the guys that have moved teams.
All right, good stuff. On that note, we'll let you go. We won't ask you to break down Saints-Bucks. It's an important game just for, you know, the NFC South, because somebody has to make the playoffs, but these are Duke two not very good football teams meeting tonight, Monday Night Football.
No, you're right, and I think the Bucks will probably find a way, but it's going to be ugly.
Right. There you go. All right, we'll have it for you. Good reason to listen to the game tonight. Duke, always appreciate the time and the insight, my friend. We'll chat again next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one.